Taf is Yud Chesam and Aleph. We'll begin on Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, the Mishnah that opens up the second perek of Erevin, and that's the perek called Osim Pasim. And again, we're dealing with Mechitzos for Shabbos, as far as being Matir Tiltul within the Mechitzos. In the previous chapter, we dealt with the laws of a mavui, which could be nitar, belechi, vekora, and we discussed mechitzos, that was shasi without erev, or erev without shasi. Now we're going to deal with pasi biros, and the dinim of tiltul in what's called a gina, or a karpaf, and these are all terms that Amir Hashem will explain as we go along. At the end of the last parak, we dealt with some of the dinim of Eruvei Chatzeros with regard to the Isur Tiltul and a Chatzer, in a case where one is not Ma'ariv together with the Achirim, and all these topics will, especially with regard to Eruvei Chatzeros, will be dealt with later on in Masechta Eruvin. Now we have to keep in mind that back at the time of Chazal, there were in Rishus HaRabim Be'eros Mayim, and the Mishnah is going to deal with the case of Be'eros Mayim. These were either cisterns that were ditches in the ground that collected rainwater, or alternatively they were springs, and they were located in Rishus HaRabim. However, the bar itself, the be'er itself, was 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, which means that the be'er itself had the status of a reshus hayachid, and therefore it would be a meleches hotzah if one were to draw water from the be'er and bring it out to the sfasa be'er. So the chachamim made a takana, which is called Pase Beiros. The word Beiros is the plural of Be'eros, of Be'er Mayim. And the Pasim are tablets of wood. And this would allow drawing water from the Rishus HaYochid and setting up these Pasim on all four corners surrounding the Be'er in such a way that now that area within those four Pasim would be considered a Rishus HaYochid. And again, this is a big kula because we have here a situation of Poritz HaOmed Ala Merubah. It's much more Poritz than Merubah. And the Mishnah establishes that these Pasim for Beiros were Arba Diomodim. The word Diomodim means, Dio means two, and Modim are Amudim. So you would have at each corner at a 90 degree angle, looking like the letter Resh, or Dalid, a 90 degree angle, two boards. One would go towards, let's say, the east, and one would go towards the north. And Nirim Kishmona, because there were two boards on each one of these corners, and there are four corners surrounding the bear, therefore it looks like there are eight. And that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer Shmona Nirim Venirim ke shneimasar. According to Rabbi Yehuda, although we need eight pasim, which means the four pasim on all the four corners, but in addition to the arba dimudim, we need arba pshutim, which means between each one of the dimudim, we're going to need a pas. So therefore, we're going to add four pasim, and if we add those four to the number eight, we end up with 12. Now, let's keep in mind that the Dumadim have to be 10 tefachim high and 1 amma wide, which means 6 tefachim. It's the same as 1 amma. So we have machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as to whether or not you have to set up shutim between each one of the Dumadim, which would now jack up the number, as Rabbi Meir would have it, from 8 to 12. Now, Govhan, we said, was Asar Tfachim. The minimum height was 10 Tfachim. And Rochvan, Shisha. And the width was 6 Tfachim or an Amma. V'Ovyan, Kolshu. And there was no minimum shear of the thickness of the Dumadim. And that's called a Kolshu. The Mishnah continues, Ubeinehem kimelosh de revakos shel shalosh shalosh bakar. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Between the two pasim on each side, so let's say you've had the north western side and the northeastern side, in between you would have a distance that would allow for bringing a certain number of cows and organizing them between the two pasim on the two ends. Keep in mind that the primary function of drawing water, the purpose was to feed the cows. And there's something called a ravka. And a ravka is what we call a pair, P-A-I-R, of 3x3 bakar. So we have now a situation in which we have basically you have an area that would be 10 amos wide. That's according to Rabbi Meir, because that's shtei ravkos shel shalosh shalosh bakar. If you have two groups. Now these pairs were connected by a yoke, a common yoke that can combine the two, and in this case, shalosh shalosh bakar. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Omer shal arba arba bakar kolachas. Each one of these ravkos was made up of four cows. So according to Rabbi Meir, we have all told six cows filling in, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have eight cows filling in. And I have a diagram of it. And you'll see that they situate the four cows facing one direction, the other four cows facing the other direction. And the sach hakol of eight cows worth between the two dumadim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is 13 and a third amos. So as Rabbi Meir has 10 amos, because he only has 6 cows, shalosh shalosh, Rabbi Yehuda has 13 and a third amma. And in that sense, Rabbi Yehuda is more mekil, because he allows a greater distance between the dumadim, which means that the area that surrounds the be'er is a larger area. The Mishnah says, Kshuros velo mutaros. The cows are tied together, and that tightens them and gives a smaller area. And Achas nichneses v'achas yotzis. As we said before, one faces this direction, and the other cow faces the other direction. And this din of kshuros is coming to be machmir, to shorten the distance between one of the dumadim and the other, because you're leaving less of a space for the animals to fit in if they're kshuros. So that's a chumrah. However, there's also a kula here in this Mishnah of achas nichneses v'achas yotzos, because that's going to give you a larger breadth of a width of area, because it's not so easy to squeeze in, you know, those cows that are going that way and the other cows are going that way. You're going to have to leave a little extra space. The Mishnah continues, says muta lahakriv labe'er. You can minimize the distance between the dumadim, which would mean that the area surrounding the well is now a smaller area. But there's a minimum size of the haktana, of the reducing, and that is shetehei ubilad shetehei para rosha veruba bifnin vishosa. You have to at least leave enough area that's surrounded by these four dimadim around the bar that would allow for rosho verubo of a cow and that's going to be a cow that could fit in most of his body inside the dimadim, that's the minimum, and the cow could drink from the be'er. If it's less of a size that's being surrounded by the dumadim, then there's no heter of dumadim. Now the Mishnah wants to know, can I enlarge the area? And the Mishnah says, mutar, on the top of Yuches Hamad Aleph, laharchik es hadumadim min ha-be'er. You can enlarge the area that separates one of the dumadim from the other, and it still has the status of a shus hayochid, kol shehu, as much as you like, no limit, ubilvad, but under the following conditions, sheyarbe pasim, that you have to add these pasim that we discussed earlier, which are called pasi beros, and we have to guarantee that there won't be a greater shear from one pas to the other than 10 amos according to Rabbi Meir, 13 and a third according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Mishnah quotes a dissenting opinion about the shear of Godel HaShetach, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Beis HaSayim, that the widest area that could be permitted through this method called Pasi Beros is up to, but not beyond, an area of Beis HaSayim, which is an area that's wide enough to plant Tvua that would produce Sasayim. And that's called 100 Amma by 50 Amma. And up to that area we can be Matir and carry within the Pasi Beros, but not if it's larger than that. Amru lo, so the Chachamim turn to Rabbi Yehuda, and they say, lo Amru Beis HaSayim, where are you borrowing this shear of Beis HaSayim from? El Legina Ula Karpaf. These are larger areas that are surrounded by Mechitzos, but they're not what we call Hukaf Ledira. They're not used for residential purposes. And therefore the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to carry within them if the size of the area that's being surrounded by mechitzos is more than a Beis HaSayim. Aval ima yadir, o sar, o mukte, o chatzir. These are four categories that are considered hukaf lidira. And we'll go through all four of them. Then afilu Beis Hameshes Kurim, afilu Beis HaSar Kurim Mutter. There's no limitation in the area that's being surrounded by the mechitzos as long as that area is residential, meaning it has certain, what we call tashmishei diur. And the four cases are, number one, a deer, which is a kind of a corral for animals in the field. Sahar is a corral for animals inside the city. Muktzeh is a wide place that's a plot of land behind your house. Chatzer is a courtyard in front of the house. All these areas, no matter how large they are, Chameshes Kurim, Asara Kurim, these are very large spanses. Mutal Etaltubo. Why? Because in all these cases, it's called Hukaf Ledira. Now, about the case of deer, and for that matter, Sahar, both of which are dedicated for animals, you and I would think that animals is not called residential. It's not being used by human beings. But perhaps the answer is that human beings have to go in there to feed the animals, etc., etc., for cows, to milk the cows. So there is tashmish of deer in all these areas. And therefore, the Chachamim, rejecting Rabbi Yehuda, say, Mutar laharchik, you can distance the dumadim, kolshu, any shear whatsoever from the Be'er ubelvad she'yarbe papasim. There's no limit even beyond a base sasayim. And now we'll begin the Gemara. Lema masnisim delo kechananya. Shall we assume that our mission is against Chananya? The sanya we learned in the Braisa, osim pasim libar vechavolim lishayara. V'chananya omer chavolim libar avolo pasim. The Braisa quotes a machlokas. According to Tanakama, the leniency is that the heter to rely on pase baros applies not only to a natural spring, but even to a bar, which is a cistern, a ditch in the ground that collects rainwater. And we'll soon see why Chananya disagrees. V'chavolim l'shayara. In the case of a shayara, as we discussed in the previous Mishnah, this caravan of people are allowed to set up a mechitza made of shayara, even though it's not shesivi arev, but nevertheless, for the sake of a shayara, they were matir relying on those secondary kind of mechitzas. Chananya omer chavolim libar avolo pasim. That if you have a bar, which is not a natural spring, but rather a collection of water, then in order to be matir tiltul and take from this bar out to Rishus HaRabim, we need chavolim. We need to surround the bar with a mechitza. Again, it's not the best mechitza in the world, but it's certainly better than pasei baros, havalo pasim. Because again, in the case of pasim, you have what's called Poritz Merubala Omeh. And we'll soon see that the logic of Chananya is based on the fact that when you have a bar, it's very common for the bar to get dried up. And if you can allow Pasi Baros, you can only allow that when there's water in the bar, but he may mistakenly think that, well, he was always carrying in this area between the Pasi Baros, he'll continue to do so even though the bar was Yavish, it became dried up. And therefore, Chananya will not allow the heter of pasi bros in the case of a bar. The Gemara rejects this. Afilu tema Chananya. We could reconcile Chananya in the Braisa with our Mishnah, bar lechud ube'er lechud. Let's differentiate between a bar and a be'er. And Chananya said that we weren't matir a bar with pasim, and our Mishnah might be talking about pasi biros and specifically biros. The word biros is referring specifically to be'er, right? Biros is a plural formulation of the be'er. And therefore, Chananya will interpret our Mishnah as referring specifically and exclusively to Be'eros, which are natural springs, where there's no chashash that it might get dried up, but not Boros. Boros are excluded, because in the case of Bor, we're always afraid that at some point it might dry up, and the people will continue to assume that there's a heter-tiltul between the Pasi Boros, and that heter-tiltul only applies when there's water. And if there's no water in the Bor, then we cannot rely on Pasi Baros. So therefore, in the case of a bar, we're not going to allow for Pasi Baros. Ika Diamri, the Gemara offers a second version. Midolo Kitani. It doesn't say in the Braisa Chananya Omer Osim Chavolim Libar Upasim Libe'er. He rather says Chavolim Libar Avalo Pasim. And what does that imply? Michlal. It implies that the Chananya Loshna Bar Veloshna Be'er Chavolim in Pasim Lo. In other words, when Chananya says in the Brice of a Lo Pasim, he's excluding Pasim in all cases. Even in the case of a Be'er, a natural spring, we will not rely on Pasim Biros, only on Chavolim, which is a Mechitza. And the Gemara now tries to clarify this. Lema masnisin delo kechananya. Now Mishnah certainly relies on pasim, and Chananya excludes pasim. And the Gemara answers, afilu tema chananya, even if you want to reconcile our Mishnah with Hananya the Braisa, Dilamai Dikomer Tanakama Koma Hadarle. On that which the Tanakama spoke about, Hananya responds. And the Tanakama was speaking about a bar, and Hananya responded by saying that the Tanakama, when he says that pasim are meaningful for a bar, and the Chachamim then responded, no, pasim are not meaningful for a bar, not effective. There was no discussion whatsoever about a be'er. The Tanakama did not address the case of be'er, and the Tanakama would agree, and even Hananya is on board, that in the case of a be'er, pasim would be meaningful. And that's why the Mishnah would allow pasim, but only in the case of be'eros. So according to the Mishnah of the Ika Diamri, it comes out that our Mishnah allows pasim only in the case of be'eros. So the Gemara says, Lema masnis in delo Rabbi Akiva. Okay, you've successfully reconciled that Mishnah with Hananya, but what about Rabbi Akiva? This non, we have a Mishnah back on a little bit further on in this perek that records a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Echad be'er harabim u'bar harabim u'be'er ha'yochid osim lem pasim aval bar yochid osim lo mechitza gavo asar tfachim divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva makes the following distinction. Until now, we've been discussing the difference between a bar and a be'er. In Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference, a bar and be'er, as long as it's for the rabbim, for the general public, has this, they both have the same din, and you can be matir even a bar, as long as shel rabbim, with pasim. But if the bar has another strike against it, not only is it a bar, but it's also shel yachid, so I have my own personal cistern, my own ditch in my backyard, then there's no heter of pasim, and rather we need a full-fledged mechitza. And that's Rabbi Akiva's view. Because Rabbi Akiva is worried about a case where it might dry up. If it shall rob him, then each one will remind the other one. But if it's private, no one's going to remind him that there's no water left in the bar, and he's going to continue to carry there based on the pasim, and he can't rely on the pasim because there's no water there. And Rabbi Akiva is against our Mishnah, the Gemara claims, because Ilu Hocha Ketoni, our Mishnah says, Liberos, Liberos in, Liboros lo, implying that even if you have a bar, Shel Rabim, it doesn't lend itself to the heter of Pase Bros. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, in the case of a bar de rabim, will allow relying on pasi biros. Gemara rejects this. Afilu tema Rabbi Akiva, you can reconcile our mission with Rabbi Akiva. And be'er ma'im chayim de psikale loshna rabim veloshna de yachid. In the case of be'er ma'im chayim, the Mishnah addresses that case because psikale, meaning it's an absolute halacha that doesn't lend itself to any exceptions. Even in a yachid, if you have a spring that is a privately owned spring, we're not afraid that it'll dry up, and therefore we rely on pasim. So that's the unique status of a be'er mayim, and therefore a be'er mayim is always, whether it belongs to the rabbim or the yachid, lends itself to the heter of pasi biros, is katani. However, the Mishnah leaves out bar, mechunasim, which are collected waters, man-made cisterns, to lo psikale, because since that depends on another variable, and we're going to differentiate between a bar shel rabim, where each one will remind the other one, hey, don't rely on these pasi biros because the bar is dried or the water is dried up, as opposed to a bar shel yachid, where there's no one to remind him, is lo ketani, even though the Mishnah doesn't mention bar, that's because of lo psikale, but it would accept the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that there is a heter of pasim in the case of a bar, depending upon whether it shall rab him or shel yachid. The Gemara goes on and says, "Leim ma'aslisin delo, ki Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava." Okay, you've squared the Mishnah with Hananya. You've managed to reconcile the Mishnah with Rabbi Akiva, but you cannot reconcile the Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. This nan, we have a Mishnah later on. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Omer ein osim pasim el be'er harabim bilvat. We're only going to allow pasim in a be'er of rabim. If you have a be'er that's owned by a yachid, my own private backyard spring, then pasim will not be reliable. V'ilu hacha ketani lebe'eros. The word be'eros in plural seems to indicate that lo shna de rabim, lo shna de yachid. Be'eros means the plural of be'er, and the Mishnah did not qualify. The plural of be'er seems to include both categories, a public spring and a private spring. And in both cases, pasim will be effective, whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says that pasim are only effective in the case of a be'er de rabim, not in the case of be'er de yachid. So Gemara rejects this and says, afilu tamer Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, even if you want to claim that we can reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who is matir only in the case of Be'eros Shel Rabim, don't ask a question from the fact that it says Be'eros, Biros, in plural, as if to refer even to a Be'er of Yachin. No, my Be'eros, Be'eros the Alma, the plural is used to include all Be'eros all over the world. My Diumadim, what is the meaning of the word Diumadim? Omer Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar, Dio Amudim. This is a combination of two words, two smaller words, dio, which means two, and amudim, which are these posts, and we have to have two posts on each one of the corner, and that's called diumadim. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to bring an entire list of statements of Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar. It offers you a mnemonic device that will help you remember, you know, all these statements of Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar. But before that, the Gemara is going to bring an explanation of another, you know, shed another light on the word Dio that makes up half the word Diumadim. Tnan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Tmai, and we're talking about the Chiyuv of Tmai, which are fruits that are bought from an Amoritz, or grains, and you are worried that maybe he wasn't Mafrish Maser. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol HaShitin, Shitin is a type of inferior quality fig, and you bought it from an Amoritz at a cheap price, Pturim. In that case, the requirement of Hafrashas Maser from Tmai does not apply, because we assume that these fruits are so cheap that even an Amoretz would not hesitate to be Mafrish Maser. Chutzmin Hadyofra. There is one subcategory of Shitim, of this inferior quality Te'ena, where you're Chayev to be Mafrish Maser if you bought it from an Amoretz. And my Diofra, excuse me, and you take a look at the first three letters of the word Diofia, and you see the word Dio. Omar Ula Ilan Chosen Dio Paris Bashana. It's a kind of a fig tree that produces twice each year. So again, the word Dio means two. And now we go through the various statements of Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar. The first one is Dio Partsuf Ponim Hayaloli Adam Arishon. Before the creation of Chava, man was created with two faces. He had a face in the forward and he had a face in the backwards. Like, sort of like Siamese twins, right? Shenemar, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Achor v'kedem tzartoni. Tzartoni means you fashioned me. And the tzura here, which is the noun of tzartoni, is referring to the parts of ponim, the countenance of a person. And achor v'kedem means there's one towards the front and one in the back. So man was created basically a combination of male and female. And the Gemara now quotes a machlokas about this very point. Ksiv, it says with regard to the creation of Chava, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela, Asher lokach min ha'adam li'isha, Vayivi'er el ha'adam. So what is this Tzela? And we have here machlokas shin Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omar Partzuf. According to one of these two opinions, this is the extra parts of the extra face of Adam HaRishon, that God had created Adam HaRishon with two faces, one male and one female, and now he takes the face from Chava, the Nekeva, and creates a whole body to attach to that face. The Chadamar, according to the other opinion, Zanav, that Adam HaRishon had some sort of a tail, and from that tail, which was dissected from Adam, God created Chava. Now, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, that man was created with an extra face, that would depend upon this machlokas Rav and Shmuel. You could only reconcile Rabbi Elazar with that opinion that the tzela is not a separate limb, but rather a face. Bishleim eleman diomer partzuf. If you hold that the word tzela means a countenance of faith. Hainu d'chsiv, now I understand the pasuk that we mentioned earlier, achar v'kerem tzotoni. Avol elo l'mandi omer zonov, according to Mandi Omer, that Chava was created from the tail of Adam, my achar v'kerem tzotoni. How are you interpreting this pasuk when Adam HaRishon describes that you, God, created me achar v'kerem, forward and backwards, in front of me and behind me? And the Gemara says, "Kidei Rabbi Ami, Tiyomer Rabbi Ami, Achor Lamasa Breishis VeKedem LePuranos." That although man was the last one to be created, after all, during the Sheish Simei Masa, all the other animals were created, all the other beings were created, but nevertheless, man was the first to get punished. Now, what is that referring to? I mean, we actually know, if you read the Pesukim carefully, that the Nachash HaKadmoni, after the Chet of Eitz Hadas, was the first to get punished. But if you take a look at the beginning of Parshas Noach, with regard to the Mabul, there it says, Adam u'Behema, man is mentioned first. So apparently, this Gemara is alluding to the punishment meted out to man first, before the rest of the creation at the time of the Mabul. The Gemara says, Bishlema achar lemaisa bracious. I understand Rabbi Ami's point that achar lemaisa bracious, that man was at the end of creation, delo ibri ad maila shabbos, a man was only created on the sixth day after all the other creations. Ela v'kedem l'peronis maihi, ilem mishum klola, if you're going to talk about the metaphysical curse on man, Ha, but Chilin is kal Nachash. The Nachash came first. Lo basof niskal Chava. Lo basof niskal Adam. So you can't use the phrase Kedem liperonios. Ela, but rather Mabul. The Mabul. Tichsiv vayimach es kol ayikuma asher pnei ha'adama. May Adam v'ad behema. So Adam came first. He was the first to be destroyed by the Mabul. Bishleim leman diomer partzuf. Hainu tichsiv. We understand the pasuk that says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Ha'adam Ofer Min Adama, and Vayitzar is written with two yuds, Trei Yudin, which implies that man was created in two different tsuros, two different forms. He had a partzuf in front and a partzuf in behalf. Elamandi Omer Zonov, my Vayitzar, why the double creation of Vayitzar? There are no two tsuros. And the Gemara answers, Kidei Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi, Omer Shimon ben Pasi, Oili Miyitzri, Oili Mi Yotzri, that the word Vayitzer is a reference to the Yetzer. And there's a double Yetzer, which means the following. Woe to me from my Yetzer Hara, which constantly is seducing me to violate the Ratzon of Hashem, of my Yotzer, V'oili Mi Yotzri. And as a result, if I am influenced by the Yetzer, then woe to me in front of my Creator. Bishleim leman diomer partzuf, hayu d'chsiv zocher nekeva bra'am. The pasuk indicates that man was created both male and female. And that makes sense if you hold that there were two countenances, one was zocher and the other was Nekeva Leman, the Omer Zonov, my Zohar Nekeva Bra'om. What does it mean in the Pasuk when it says that man was created both male and female? And the Gemara answers, Likid Rabbi Abo. To Rabbi Avo Rami, Rabbi Avo had a stira in the Psukim. Ksiv, it says, Zohar Nekeva Bra'om Uksiv, B'tselem Elokim Bara Oso. So in the first chapter of Genesis, it indicates that man was created in the singular. In the second chapter, man was created both male and female. And the answer is Bitchila also v'machshava libroso shnayim ulbasof lo nivra ella echad. That initially God thought that He would create man as both male and female, but at the end He created man only as male, and then He created female as a separate creation. And all this is to defend the Mandiomer who says that Tzela means zanav. Now, what this means, that God had a machshava, and what is the significance of the machshava, this is actually the subject of a tshuva in the Rashba. And the Rashba writes that it doesn't mean that God changed His mind, but rather, we have to figure out how to learn, how to interpret the Chochmas Hashem, and we have to understand that everything that was created by Hashgacha, with a tachlis. And when it comes to machshava, God incorporates the tachlis, and the tachlis of man is that he should be created both male and female, meaning he should have his mate and connect with her. In the footnote here, he quotes the Toras Chaim, who says that if man would have been created as both male and female, then there wouldn't have been that relationship between a husband and a wife in which the Isha is kfufa, and therefore God doesn't create male and female together, but rather creates male first and then female second, and she has to serve as an ezer kenegdo, as a kind of a helper to man. And he has a whole list of different commentaries here. We don't have time for it now. Bishleim Lamandi Omar, parts of Hainu Dixiv, Vayizgar Basar Tachtena. If man was split in half, then obviously God needs to add flesh to the female, who's now separated from the male. El Lamandi Omar Tzanov, Mai Vayizgar Basar Tachtena. If God simply cut off the tail of man, then why does He have to add flesh? Omer Rav Zvid, Vitema Rav Yirmiya, Vitema Rav Nachbar Yitzchak, Lo Nitzricha, El Makom Chatach. God had to add flesh to man because the surgical operation that removed the tail left man lacking with an open space, and God had to, so to speak, patch it up with flesh. Bishleim Laman the Omer Zonov, Hainu Dixiv, Vayiven. The word Vayiven makes sense if God took the Tzela and built a human being, built Chava. Laman the Omer Partzuf, my Vayiven. What is the word Vayiven? Why did God have to recreate a building, so to speak, a binyan here, when man was originally created with both partsufim? And the Gemara answers, look at Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, the Dorsh Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, Vayiven Hashem es Atzela, Vayiviyeh el Ha'odom, Melanet Shekil'ah. Kil'ah means to braid the hairs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the first dressmaker in history, and He braided the hairs of Chava Vayiviyeh, and He brought her Li'odom Arishon. And this is part of the mitzvah of Hachnosis Kala, so to speak, when God brings Chava to Adam. Shekein Bekrache Hayom, in various shore cities on the shore, is Korin Likliosa Banayosa, that when you braid the hair, that's called Vayiven, that's called building. Dover Acher, Vayiven Hashem Elokim Amar Rav Chisda, Vayami Leib Maslis in Tana, Melamed Shebna'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava Kibinyan Shel Otsar. And here we turn to Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. God built up Chava like you would build up a storehouse for fruits or grains. Ma otzer ze rochav milamata vekotzer milamala. You've seen it if you've passed, you know, farms. You know, it's wider at the bottom, and the storage house is smaller on the top. Kedei lekabelas haperos, so that you can put the grains inside the smaller opening on top, and then they fall down on the bottom, and it fills up. And the weight is not immediately pressing against the top, but rather on the bottom. Afa Isha, a woman is also created in that way, and she has a rechem on the bottom, rechava milamata, which is wider, uktsara milamala, and it gets narrower on top, kedei lekabelas havlat, so that she can develop the fetus in the womb, and the fetus will grow, so she has that width on the bottom. And then in the next part of the pasuk, it says, "Vayivieha el ha'adam." And this is a separate theme, and that is "Malamit she'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu shushvinus li'adam arishon." That God, so to speak, was the first shushvina, the shushvina of those who, after the wedding, are in charge of making happy, making simcha, and taking care of all the seudos that are necessary from the time of the chuppah and onward. And this was God's own personal involvement, vayivieha el ha'adam. And mikan, and since we have a principle called imitating God, is li'adam gadol shi'aseh shushvinus le'katan. That even a person who's on a very high level, you know, he's a giant and a leader in his community, nevertheless, he should not hesitate to become a shushvinon for someone who's not on his level. And he should be osik in the chasana and the simcha, the al yerolo, and it shouldn't be something that should bother him, but rather on the contrary, he is imitating HaKadosh Baruch. Gemara now asks, Uleman diomer partzuf, if you assume that the tzela was a partzuf, and man was created with a partzuf milufnim, partzuf me'achar, one in front of one, that kaiminayu sagi bereisha, which of the two, the male or the female, went first? After contemplating this, I found a brisa, and based on this brisa, says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, I came to the conclusion that the male went first. The brisa formulates the following prohibition: a person should not walk behind a woman, because if he does so, he watches her back and the way she walks and all her movements, and he'll come to hear her, he might come to have the wrong thoughts. But rather, he should sort of run ahead of her or move to the side. Vafilu hi ishto. And in the case of his wife, that's called a gnai. And in the note here, he says, it's a gnai because ein derech eretz sheyelech hakatan barosh vagadol me'achorov. So again, he's assuming that thesis that we mentioned earlier, that she is like a helpmate to him, and therefore he has to go first, and it's a gnai if he walks behind her. I was told that in certain countries, a man walks like 6 feet in front of his wife. Anyway, nizdamnilo vafilu hi ishto, ya nizdamnilo ala gesher. Now, here, Rashi and the Marshos say that we're talking about a married woman. So this married woman is walking in front of him over a bridge. There's no alternative route. There's only one road. Yisalkenu litzdadim. He should somehow squeeze by on the side, and she will not be in front of him, and I'll have to run a little bit to get in front of her. V'chol ha'over achorei ishto, I'm sorry, v'chol ha'over achorei isha, and we said that this is referring to a married woman, bin nahar, and he walks behind a married woman who is at the river. Now, when she goes into the river, she lifts up her clothing that they shouldn't get wet, and therefore he sees her flesh, and he looks at it and he gazes at it. Ein lo chelek olam haba. This is a serious violation, looking at the flesh of a married woman. Torah Rabbanah, we learned in a braisa, hamaratzem mos leisha miyado liyado miyado liyada b'shvil shistakel ba. Right, he's counting out coins from his hand directly into her hand, or from her hand he's receiving it into his hand, and he does it very, you know, very deliberately, so that he could look at her. Is afilu dome le Moshe Rabbeinu shekibul Torah mi'ar Sinai. He's a great scholar, but nevertheless he will not get midina shel Gehinnom. He will still be punished for this sin. V'olav hakosav omer yad li yad lo yinoke ra. The pasuk of Mishlei tells us that yad li yad, and we're going to learn it twice. Yad li yad means from his hand into her hand, or her hand into his hand, and in all these cases he's doing it in order to look at her and to enjoy her beauty. And lo yinoke midina shel Gehinnom. The end of the pasuk says lo yinoke ra, and the ra here, the evil, is a reference to Gehinnom, will be punished. Amar Rav Nachman Manoach, he was the father of Shimshon, Ama Oretz Hoya. He was an ignoramus. Shenemar Vayokam Vayelech Manoach Achrei Ishto, which means that he walked behind his wife. If he would have known the braisa that we learned earlier, that prohibits a man to walk behind his wife, a woman, even if it's his wife, then he wouldn't have done so. Apparently he was ignorant. And the Gemara rejects Rav Nachman. Maskifla, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. By the way, this proves the sheet of Tosfos in Shas, that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak and Rav Nachman are two different people. In fact, Stam Rav Nachman is, I think, Rav Nachman ben Moshe, if I'm not mistaken, but not bar Yitzchak, because otherwise Rav Nachman would be attacking himself here. They're two different people. Ela me'ato, if you're going to tell me that when it says that Manoach went behind his wife, it means kipshuto, he walked behind her, is then what are you going to do with the pasuk Gabi Elkanah? And Elkanah again was a Navi, he was a prophet. He was not an Amoritz. Tichsiv, and it says, Vayelech Elkanah Re Ishto. And for Gabi Elisha, we also find with regard to Elisha, Tichsiv, Vayokom Vayelech Achreha. Is Hachinami going to tell me that these people are literally walking behind a woman and violating the Yisur Ella? But rather, you have to understand that the pasuk has to be taken in a more liberal way, so to speak. And what it means is Achrei Ishto, or Achreha, it means Achrei Dvareha Vatzasa, that both Elkanah and Elisha would take a piece of advice, a recommendation from, respectfully, each one's wife. Hachinami here too, in the case of Manoach, we don't have to interpret it that he walked literally behind his wife, but rather Achrei Dvareha Vatzasa. He simply wanted to take her advice. And therefore, you have no proof that he was, that Elkanah was, that Eshes, that Manoach was an Amoritz. Omer Rav Ashi, but according to Rav Nachman, who says that when it says halacha charisha, we take it literally, and it means that that Manoach was not aware of the braisa that prohibits walking behind a woman, is afilu beirav nami lo kra. Not only is he ignorant of a braisa, but he's ignorant of something, of beirav, something that even a child who starts learning chumash would know. D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'atokam rivka v'narosev, v'atakavna al agmalim, v'atelachna acharei ha'ish, v'lo lifnei ha'ish. The pasuk indicates that Rivka went behind Eliezer, not in front of Rebbe Eliezer. So let's just point out that if you hold like Rav Nachman, and you take the pasuk literally that Manoach walked behind his wife, literally, then Manoach was not only ignorant of a braisa, that's bad enough, but he was ignorant of a pasuk in Chumash. Om Rabbi Yochanan, when we compare a person who walks behind his wife, it's like achrei ari. It's like somebody who endangers his life by walking behind a lion. And v'lo achrei aisha, be healthier to walk behind a lion and put his life at risk than to walk behind an eishes isha, a married woman. Is achrei isha v'lo achrei avodas kochavim. But if your choice is between walking behind the idol, the worship of an idol, or walking behind a woman, then better off if you walk behind a woman. But the worst thing is to walk behind a Beis HaKnesses while the people are praying, and he looks like a kofer b'Hashem. Everybody's davening, and he refuses to go in. Now we're up to the second statement of Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar. The pasuk tells us that after Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, he was cursed, and 130 years went by until he fathered a child. And Rabbi Yirmiya tells us that during that 130-year period, he was benidui, which is called, in modern Hebrew we say nazuf. He was in a nazifa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sort of like pushing him away. And he was so far distanced from the Ribbono Shel Olam for that period of 130 years, that holid ruchin v'shedim v'lilin. He fathered during that state of nazifa, when he was so despicable in the eyes of God, fathered all sorts of types of mazikin. Shenemar vayichi adam shloshim amash shana vayolet bidmuso kitzalmo. Meaning only after 130 years did he finally father a child that had the same dmus, the same tzelem, the same image as him. Michal diada idna lav kitzalmo olin. Until this point, he was not fathering things that had a tzelem elokim mesvei. They asked the Kasha, "Oh, Rabbi Meir Omer." We have a brisa that quotes Rabbi Meir, "Adam Arishon Chasid Gadol Haya." And Kevin Sharosh and Iknas on Misal Yodo, when he realized that he was responsible for bringing death into the world by eating from the Eitz Hadas, and that brought around the metaphysical curse of Ki Ofar Atov El Ofar Toshuv Yosheb Etaynis. He was sitting and fasting as a matter of tshuva, Mea Ushloshim Shana. For 130 years, who perished mina isha meir shloshim shana, and while he was involved in tshuva, he would not have an intimate relationship with Chava. And as part of his tshuva, this is a theory in tshuva called self-flagellation. Hela zarze te'enim al besaro meir shloshim shana. Now he took belts that were made of the leaves of a fig tree. And he wore them on his body, and they sort of like cut into his body. And if he was Poresh Mishto Bosim Shonim, then it doesn't make sense that he would have fathered Mazikin. And the Gemara says, Ki Kamrina Nahu B'Shifa Zera D'Chazon Li'Unse. That which we said, that Adam HaRishon gave birth to Mazikin, that was a creation that came from his sperm, that some of his sperm came out of his body, la'onse. No, not because he had bad thoughts or anything of that sort. And therefore, these mazikin were not born to Chava, because during the 130 years, he, Adam HaRishon, did not have any relations with Chava. Now we get to the third statement of Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar, Miktsa shvachu shel Adam omrim b'fanav, kulo shelo b'fanav. It's derech eretz, that if you want to speak all the praises of a person, you do it shalom befanav. Because if you do it befanav, then it'll go to his head, and also it looks like it's a chanifa. And miktsa shvachu befanav d'ksiv, we derive from Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noach, ki oscha ra'isi tzadik lefanai b'dar hazeh. So the shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Noach is that he's a tzadik. But kulo shalom befanav d'ksiv, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dar osav. So Tzadik Tamim is an extra shvach that's called Kulo, and that was said Shalom Bifnei Noach. Another statement of Rabbi Yirmiya bar Elazar, Ma'idach Siv, What does it mean that Noach sent out the Yonah from the Teva after the Mabul to find out if the waters went down? And it says, Vehine alaf alei zayis toraf befiha. And the Yonah, the dove, comes back with a leaf, a branch of an olive tree. Omer Yonah say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yonah said, Ribono Shel Olam, you mizonosai merorim kizayis. I don't mind if my food, my sustenance, will be bitter like a zayis, because unless you process an olive, it has a very bitter taste. But mesurim biyodcha, as long as I receive my mizonos directly from your yad, v'al yiv mesukim kidvash, and I would not be happy if my food was sweet as honey, utluyim biyad basav adam, but I would depend upon human beings. In other words, I'd rather be dependent upon your direct provenance and sustaining me, even if it means that my mizonos will not be so great, as long as I don't have to depend upon man, because man is not reliable. D'ksiv hacha, it says here, taref, uksiv hasa matrifeni lechem chuki. So Pasuk in Mishlei, you also use the word taref, and there we're talking about feeding the machal that I need. Taref is called mazon, and therefore when the Pasuk says, hine Allah zayis taref befiya, she wanted it with her mouth to ask Hashem Tarfa to please provide her with her mizonos, which is represented by the Alei Zayis, which is directly from the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, the Omar Rabbi Yirmi Balazar Kolbayis Hanishmoyim Bo Divrei Torah Balayla, if Torah is spoken in the house at night, Shuvei Nenechrav, it will be protected. The language shuv is a little bit problematic. It sounds like it would have been nechrav if not for saving it. And this has to do with different statements in the that accord in the Ein Yaakov, that at the time of Churban Bayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made gzeira that even the houses of tzaddikim will be destroyed. But if there's Torah in the house at night, that will protect them. Shenemar, based on a pasuk in Iyov, V'lo Omar, Aye Eloka, Osoi, Nosein, Zmiros Balayla. We're going to darshan that the phrase Zmiros Balayla, these songs at night, are a reference, an allusion to Lomei Torah Balayla, Lomei Torah Balayla, and Kolo Nishma, that voice of Torah that's heard, is like Zmiros Balayla. And Aye Elokai is Lo Amar. We will never say Aye Elokai. Why? Because there won't be any churban, there won't be any destruction, because we hear the Zmiros Balayla of Kol Torah. The Omer Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Elazar is Miyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash Dayo Li'olam Shishtamish B'Shtei Osios. After the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the Kohanim terminated their bracha of Birchas Kohanim, which was said in the name of Arba Osios, then all we're left with is two out of the four osios of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So post Churban, Shenemar Kol Aneshama Tal Ka Hallelujah, which means we only have Yud Kei. And that means that a man could only praise God with the name Yud Kei. But the name Avaya, four osios, was only given to the Kohanim, and after the Churban, we don't have that anymore. The Omar, Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar, and his Kalgla Bavel, there was a curse on Bavel of all the evils, and that's because of all the evil that she befell on Klal Yisrael. She brought about to Klal Yisrael Niskalu Shchonoseh Shchineha, and even the neighbors of Bavel, as the Gemara says in Sukkah Oyle Rosh Oyle Shchino, is Niskala Shomron. And when there was a klala on Shomron, on its chatoim, and this is after Shlomo HaMelech, when the Malchus was split into two, there was Melech Yehuda and Yerushalayim, there was Melech Yisrael, Bishomron, and those were the Malchi Yisrael. And as a general rule, Klal, Gam Shar Ha'om, She'imam Ha'yuchotim Uposhim, that in Shomron, which was the capital of Malchi Yisrael, there was tremendous amount of sin, and there was a klola, and that klola was Nisbarchu Shecheinaha. And there's a shvach here that we should mention with Tova, that on the one hand, Niskalu Bavel Niskalu Shecheinaha, Tichsiv is Samtia Lemorash Kipo V'Agme Moyim. There was a klola to Bavel, and that would impact on its Shechina, but Niskalu Lo Shomron Nisbarchu Shecheinaha Mishum Tichsiv V'Samti Shomron Le'iyas Sodeh Limitai Karem. So when Bavel was cursed, then her neighbors were also affected adversely by a curse. But when Shomron was cursed, her neighbors were blessed. When Bavel was cursed, her neighbors were cursed, as the pasuk says. And this is a pasuk in Yeshaya. And I, God, will make her, meaning Bavel, the estate of wild birds and pools of water. Wild animals will inhabit the wasteland that will become Bavel. And these in turn will ravage the neighboring areas. Niskala Shomron is mine, but Samaria, when it was cursed, her neighbors were blessed, as it's written, and I will make Samaria a heap in the field. That's a pasuk in Micha. But a place for planting vineyards. In other words, after its destruction, Shomron became an area of fertile fields, which were a blessing to her neighbor. So here on the top of Daf Yutes Amin Aleph, which is the Daf for tomorrow, Yemir Tzashem.